Goes up to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. It is the blood that wins our victory. It's not our effort. It's not our deeds. It's not our money. It's not our personality. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that wins the victory for us. And so this morning, as we examine 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, in anticipation for partaking in communion, I want us to look at what Paul's teaching was concerning the Lord's Supper, communion. I want to start out in verse number 1 of chapter 11, then we're going to skip to verse 17 in just a second. And this is my heart's desire, as I know it's your heart's desire. Paul writes, he says, "Be ye followers of me," but then he says, "even as I also am of Christ." I want my children to follow me. I want my family to follow me. I want you as a body of believers to follow me as long as I follow Christ. This world follows a lot of things. This world dictates to us the way to walk, the way to live, the way to enjoy. This world offers pleasures that are temporary and will vanish away one day. I do not, as your pastor, I do not as a husband, I do not as a father, want to lead anybody other than following Christ. And I pray that your desire is the same desire as Paul had and as I have this morning, is that you want people to follow you as you follow Christ. And so this morning, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we want to look at what Paul was talking about surrendering and talking about the Lord's Supper. See, a lot of people look at communion and the Lord's Supper just kind of like another event to take place. To me, communion and the Lord's Supper is a precious, precious time. It's a time for us to remember what Jesus did and is doing for us. See, my Savior is not dead. I serve a risen Savior. I serve a Savior who at this very moment is sitting at the right-hand throne of God. I serve a Savior who is making intercession for you and for me and for everybody who's ever trusted Jesus Christ their Savior. He is presenting His blood to the Father on our behalf. Let me ask you the most important question I can ask you. Are you covered in that blood? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? If He's not your Savior, you're not covered in the blood. You are having to face God in your own efforts. All God can see right now, if Jesus is not your Savior, all He sees is your sin. All He sees is your effort and your punishment and your wrath that you've got coming to you from Him. That's all He sees. But if Jesus Christ is your Savior, all God sees is the blood. Hallelujah. So undeserving. I am. I deserve hell. I deserve to be punished for my sins. But I thank God that Jesus took the wrath of God on Him, shed His blood, and died so that I can have eternal life. But I'm glad I serve a risen Savior. How about you this morning? So here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, starting verse number 17, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. And he is trying to correct some things that have been taking place. Here we see in chapter 7, chapter 11, verses 17, verses 17 to 22, I want to read this to you. Paul writes, he says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not." He says, I'm not giving you some credit for this. "That you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." He says, listen, I'm understanding that when you're coming together as a body of believers, that you're divided. I understand that your focus is not on the right thing, and that what you're doing is you're coming together and you're just showing up. You're gathering, which is good. He says, but guess what? You're divided. You're not focused on what God would have you to be focused on. I don't know how they were divided, if they were divided young and old, if they were divided men and women, if they were divided this group against that group, Republican against... Well, they didn't have Republican and Democrat back then. Thank God. I don't know if they were divided bald or with hair or what it was. I don't know how they were divided, but he says, you were divided. And he says, I'm coming to you and saying, that ought not to be. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to agree on everything. But our focus, the reason we come particularly on Sundays, the reason we come on Wednesdays, anytime we have a gathering of believers here, our focus ought to be on bringing glory to Jesus Christ. Lifting Him up so that the world can see. Apparently these people were not gathering for that anymore. It became a social event. Evidently they were gathering and they were having a party, and it was no focus on God. It was just simply gathering to be gathering. And I am against gathering to be gathering. I am against Sunday morning social clubs. I am against people coming in here and checking a block and saying, well, God, I showed up on Sunday morning, now bless me. No, we are here to worship God and God alone. So he says, I partly believe it in verse 18. Verse number 19, he says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they are which are approved may be made manifest among you. For when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. He says, listen, you've been gathering together. Evidently, their time and their tradition was, before they celebrated communion, they would have a big love feast before communion. And the rich people would bring all of their wines and all of their drinks and all their meats and all their food, and they'd set it up over here and they would enjoy it. But those who were without stayed without. They didn't let them come and eat with them. There was no intermingling. Somebody who didn't have as much would try to come in and be part of the rich folks, and the rich folks would say, listen, you go eat what you brought. That's kind of like having a potluck supper and you bring a bunch of fried chicken and mashed potatoes and corn and rolls and gravy and banana pudding and everything else. And you and your family, aren't you getting hungry yet? And you got your table loaded up with this food, and somebody tries to come along and say, hey, can I have fried egg? And you say, get out of here. This is for me. You go eat what you brought. And all they brought was some pea salad or something like that. And that's nasty, by the way. So Paul is saying, hey, listen, before you have communion, you're gathering together, which is good, but there's divisions among you. You've got the rich over here, which are eating their food and they're getting drunk, and then you've got these over here who don't have much food and they're not getting anything, and all they're doing is you're showing up and it's a social status thing. And I don't know if it was Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I don't know if it was Sunday afternoon. I don't know if it was Sunday morning. I have no idea what time of day it was. But Paul is saying, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Brothers and sisters, there ought not to be divisions in the church. There ought not to be this group of people who want this and this group of people who want that, and they're not willing to come together for the good of Jesus Christ. It ought not to be, I want this because it pleases me, and if it's not pleasing me, I'm not coming. And it ought not to be that this group says, if it doesn't please me, I'm not coming, and I'm going somewhere where I'm going to get what I want to get. Then guess what? You've stopped worshiping God, and you've worshiped yourselves. As long as I, as your pastor, am following Christ, and as long as I am leading the church according to what the Scripture says, that's the direction we ought to go. I'm not perfect. Be perfect. But I want to be what God wants me to be, and I want to follow Christ, and I want to lead this body of believers in the direction God wants His body of believers to go. Amen. So I want you to pray. I need you to pray for me. I need you to say, God, get that pastor on the path you want him to go. God, correct him when he needs correcting. God, lead him when he needs leading. Oh, God, please get that knucklehead on the path he needs to go. When somebody comes to me from another church or from somewhere else and they say, Brother Brian, our pastor, I say, listen, pray for your pastor. Pray for your deacons. Pray for your church leadership. Pray for the children's pastor, the music minister. Pray for them. Because as we lead, you're following. We need to lead you in the right direction. So Paul is saying, listen, y'all are gathering, which is good. But this division stuff, it's got to go. Get rid of it. Matter of fact, if you come to eat and you've got divisions, then don't even meet. Don't even bother bringing food. Stop all that nonsense. If rich folk, you can't let poor folk have food, then stop bringing food. Cut it out. Get rid of it. That's what he's saying here. Verse 22, he says, so if you're going to do this, what? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or don't you have a place to, do you despise the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. He says, fine, if you're going to just come and eat and drink, do it at home. If you're going to show yourself and you're going to be wicked, just do it at home. Don't bring it to church. Because, brothers and sisters, we are gathered here this morning to worship God together. And part of that worship is loving one another. Part of that worship is accepting one another. Part of that worship is singing praise to God. Part of that worship is praying. Part of that worship is giving. This is a worship service. And our focus ought to be bringing glory to God. Two important commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart. And what's the second? Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do that this morning, if you honestly say, God, I love everything I got. Now, God, help me to love others with everything I got. Then you have worshiped. But if there's anything else that you've come for, if there's anything else that is in your mind, you've not worshiped God, you've worshiped yourself. Is that not what it says right here? That's the truth. Now, he addresses communion. Look at verse 23. He says, for I have received of the Lord. See, this is not something he made up. This is not something that he wrote. This is not a book that he's decided to just go ahead and scribble a few thoughts. He says, God gave this to me. For I have received of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you. He says, listen, I've taught you this before. You know it. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, take, eat, This is my body. Now, he does not say the bread becomes my body. He says this bread represents my body. When we eat of the wafer this morning, we're not eating the literal body of Jesus Christ. That would make us cannibals. There are some who believe, and I can't pronounce the word, transubstantiation. They believe that this becomes the literal body of Christ, the wafer, the bread does. And at the end of the service, if there's anything left over, the priest has to eat all of that and leave nothing behind so it spoils. Paul did not say the bread becomes the literal body of Christ. It represents the body of Christ. We are not here this morning to get a meal, a physical meal. When you eat the bread, you're remembering the broken body of Jesus Christ. He says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In just a few moments, when you get the bread and we pray, you remember the brutal beating, the blood, the anguish, the broken body that had to die for us. Because if he didn't die, if there was no broken body, if there was no lamb that was slain, we're gathered here for no reason. You have no hope. Somebody had to die. Somebody had to take the wrath. They say that there's nothing like the wrath of a woman scorned. Yes, there is something worse. The wrath of a holy God. And before the age of 21, I was staring at the wrath of a holy God who justly could have burnt me and sent me to hell. I had no covering. But in August 1986, I praise God that I was covered in the blood. The wrath of God was handled forever and ever by the broken body of Jesus Christ. What about you? I didn't ask, are you a Baptist? I didn't ask you how much money you got. Have you trusted the broken body of Jesus Christ for salvation? Have you? And then he says this. And after the same manner, doing the same way, also he, Jesus, took the cup, and when he had supped, he said this, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." It doesn't become his blood. It is representing his blood. "This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." When you drink the juice, and by the way, it's juice. I do not believe it becomes alcoholic. I do not believe that my Lord and Savior would create a beverage to make you be intoxicated and make you do things that are stupid and would destroy your life. It will destroy you. This was not an alcoholic beverage that they're partaking of here. This was grape juice. And it's representing the blood of Christ. Matter of fact, turn your Bibles to Matthew 26:28 real quick with me. Matthew 26:28. This is not a sermon about alcoholism, okay? Matthew 26:28. In verse 26, we'll start. Matthew chapter 26, we'll start in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "Drink, ye all of it." He says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, the new way, which is shed for the remission of sins." Underline that. Highlight that. The blood of Christ is shed for the remission of sins. That's the reason. I am a bloody Baptist. What does that mean? I believe in the literal shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I believe that nobody trusts and can be saved without the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't work your way there. You've got to be covered in the blood. Amen. So when Jesus was celebrating, when he was saying, "This is what I want you to do," he says, when you partake of the juice, when you drink it, you're not literally drinking my blood. What you are doing is you are showing that the blood has been spilt on your behalf. Now, here's something very important I want you to see here. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Verse 26. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you do show for the Lord's death till He comes." He says, I want you to do this in remembering that eventually Jesus Christ is going to come back. Continue to celebrate this. Wherefore, verse number 27, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." He says, listen, if you're not under the blood, don't partake in this. Because all you're doing is eating unleavened bread and drinking grape juice. It means nothing to you. There's no reason for you to partake in it then. Because what you're simply saying is, I know what Jesus did, I understand it, but you know what? I want nothing to do with it. I don't want to claim it. You're essentially just shedding and you're putting it under your foot saying, you know what? Jesus, I know that you died, or maybe I believe that you died, or maybe I don't even believe you. But I'm going to drink anyway because I don't want people to think that I'm not saved. I want to go on playing the game. Let me be very, very clear in this morning. Victory Baptist Church, communion. No, close communion. This is what that means. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've been scripturally baptized, you identify yourself as a Christian, and you're not ashamed, when the grape juice and the bread comes by, what you are saying openly is that, yes, Jesus Christ is your Savior. That's what you're saying. But if you don't, and you've not been, do not act like you are. Because what you're doing is you're playing a game, and you're being foolish. And you're simply saying, I know you've died for me, but guess what? I don't care. That's unworthily. See, in just a few minutes, we're going to do this. But I'm going to afford everybody the opportunity to make sure that Jesus Christ is our Savior before we even do this morning. And you say, well, Brother Brian, that's kind of foolish. That's just nonsense. Well, look what he says now in verse 28. So instead of doing that, let a person examine themselves, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh, what is that word right there? Damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. If you're not right with God and you partake in the Lord's Supper, what you're simply saying is, I don't care what the Bible says, I'm going to do what I say. You're eating and drinking damnation unto yourself. Isn't that what it says right there? But also, it's referring to the fact if you're not right with God, if you have known sin in your life, if God's convicting you about whatever it is, and you know that it's sin, and you know that it's wrong, and you partake of the same thing, what you're simply saying is, God, I know that I'm wrong, but guess what? I'm going to put up appearances. I don't want anybody judging me. I don't want anybody thinking bad about me. I'm going to go ahead and do this because I don't want to mess up and be wrong with people. Brothers and sisters, you be wrong with people, but be right with God. See, in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity to be right with God too. You're going to have an opportunity to repent. You're going to have an opportunity to confess your sins to God. You're going to have an opportunity, as 1 John 1:9 says, that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You'll be able to do that this morning. Don't play games with God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Because He says this in verse number 30. He says, for this cause, because of this, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. That word sleep has got nothing to do with catching Z's, as some of you are right now. It's got everything to do with death. Evidently, there were some people who were playing the game, and they took of the Lord's Supper, and God said, no, you're not doing it right. You're playing games with me. So guess what? Here it comes. Verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. If you'll do business with God, guess what? It can be okay. Don't play games with God. What did Jesus tell the Pharisees and hypocrites? What did He call them? A brood of vipers? He called them open sepulchers. He said, you're a beautiful coffin, but inside is dead bones. I don't care who you are. If you're the pastor, if you're a deacon, if you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're a visitor, God knows your heart, and that's all that matters. Verse number 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. God has to chasten us. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. If you're going to just come eat, just do it at home. That you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. He says, listen, stop this all this junk about gathering together and having a social club. Don't do that. You come together to worship God. You come together to have the Lord's Supper for a specific reason. Don't play the game. Now, here's what I'm talking about. We're going to celebrate in just a second. Let's say that I was over in eastern North Carolina last couple weeks ago, and those flood waters came through and washing out blood or bridges. And let's say that I was driving my truck, and I came up and I saw that a bridge was wiped out, and I saw that the water was rushing through, and I saw that on the other side of the bridge, you couldn't even get there. And let's say that I decided to take my truck and back it up and turn around and head back the other way, and I see headlights coming to me, and I just pass right on by. I don't make any effort to warn those oncoming cars. And I see those vehicles, and the brake lights hit, all of a sudden it goes like this. And the next one goes like that. How many of you agree that would be a horrible thing for me to do? But let's say that I decide instead to drive backwards and put my truck perpendicular to the road. And let's say that I decide to get out and with a flashlight and start waving my arm saying, "Stop! Bridge out!" And I try to warn as many people as I can that there's danger. How many of you agree that's the right thing to do? You know what I'm doing this morning? Hey! Stop! Stop! Danger! But yet, you know what would happen? There'd be people drive around me. "You crazy nut, get out of the road! You don't know what you're talking about! You old fogey! You're just trying to ruin my good time! Man, we're partying, we're having a good time, and we're headed for the other side of town! Get out of our way!" But thankfully, people would heed it and say, "Woo, thank you for telling us the truth." Brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Word of God, I have just told you the truth. Have I not? So how are you going to respond? Not to me. Do not respond to me. Respond to God. Because guess what? I don't respond to you. If I respond to you, guess who I become worshiping? You. But if I respond to God, that's who I worship this morning. So here's what I want to do. Miss Gail, if you'll come on up, if you wouldn't mind, please play the organ for me. I want to take a few moments, you and I, the opportunity to repent, to get things right with God if He's revealed to you. Maybe even trust Christ. Maybe you've never been baptized and you want to get baptized today. See, because baptism's important. It's vital. Now, baptism doesn't save you, but when you get baptized, after you get saved, you're showing the world that Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're saying, "I'm not ashamed of this." But whatever God's telling you to do, whether it's to go to a spouse or go to a child or go to a friend or a neighbor or whatever, and He's saying, get right, do that today. So that when we celebrate communion, you can celebrate it in peace, knowing that you've obeyed Him and not the preacher. Amen? So here's what I'd like to do. This is going to be the most awkward time for some of you, because you're not going to know what to do. Here's what you do. God, am I right with you? God, is there anything in my heart that shouldn't be there? If there is, please forgive me. You can come down front. You can do it where you're sitting. I'll be glad to pray with you if you need it. But bless your hearts. Do what God's telling you to do, because it's the right thing to do. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know what we're doing here. We're celebrating. And I pray that we would celebrate worthily. If there's a precious soul in this room that does not know Jesus Christ, their Savior, I pray that today would be that day. If there's a precious soul that needs to surrender for baptism, that they would surrender and say, "Oh God, I want to get baptized." If there's a precious Christian that's away from you and they know it, I pray that today they repent and come back to you. Let us celebrate this communion right, the way you want it to be done. In Christ's precious name I pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Now's the time. Come forward where you're at, wherever, but respond to God. And then I will close us in prayer this morning. I invite you to come right now. If you want me to pray with you, I'll pray with you. If not, you respond to God as He wants you to do. Open your Bibles back up, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, real quick. I'm going to use that as our template. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. I don't know about you, but my heart is full this morning. God is so good. He's so gracious and merciful to us. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Brother Donnie, would you please pray and thank God for the broken body of Jesus?
Hey, Lord, we want to thank you for what you've given us, Lord, the body, what you've given us in the blood. Lord, we want to thank you for what we're about to protect, Lord, that it may bless somebody's soul, and that they remember what this is all about.
Thank you.
Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So Jeff, would you please thank God for the shed blood of Jesus?
Father, we thank you for this representation of your blood, dear Lord, that you shed for us, dear Lord, that we may become free of our sins, dear Lord. And dear Lord, we just thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name.
Jesus said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." I want to reiterate to you, God does not expect us to be perfect. Jesus is the only one. But He expects us to trust Him and obey Him. We're made righteous because of the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. Praise be to Him. Amen. Amen. All right, right before we leave, I have several people say, "Brother Ryan, what about this camp that you're taking the teenagers? We don't know what it's about." I've got a short video that I've asked Brother Terry to key up for us. Real quick, I want to show you what the camp is like that the kids are going to be going through this summer.
Thank you.
time for them to get away from, and their cell phone service up there is. Huh, it's the adults are clapping and the kids are going, oh. Many of you have given towards that. Thank you. You've been so generous, folks. And we got the golf turning up coming up May the 19th, okay? I still need some prizes. Some of you said you have really worked hard and gotten us prizes and bull hunts, or whole sponsorships. And we still need some more prizes for sure. So if you know of anybody that owns a business, you own a business or whatever, a gift card or whatever would really help towards for the golf tournament. And hopefully, I'm praying that we make enough of the golf tournament that that's the only fundraiser we got to do. And we don't have to borrow from anywhere. We just use the golf tournament and that's it. That's all they got to do. So I'm praying for that. Amen? Amen. It's been a good day today. Amen? Amen? To God be the glory. Great things He has done. Let's all stand together. We'll be dismissed in prayer this morning. Brother Dave Lang, if you would please dismiss us in prayer. I love you, brother.
Come together as a body to worship you and honor you in this supper. Lord, we thank you for who you are and what you do. Bless you, Lord, to be with each one today. Give them a safe trip home and a safe trip back tonight. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.